Today I bring my handprint in. 6 copies. Jane complains they're still damp. John sniffs the edges. I'm not obliged to explain the timing. On paper, the intricate impressions of skin are the very definition of complexity. But detail distracts from impact. Eyes are lost in that crimson labyrinth. John's bold. It's a mess of a hand slapped down hard on the table. The red is red. Received with bloody applause, yet he pales in comparison to the outpouring by Anna, who, with heavy heart, pumps out a live recital. Jane's is darker, sights time, a coagulant. Her excuse is as sticky as the work, says mine is red like a fire engine, and this angers her, bull. Arthur's has extra fingers, explains he created the effect by overlapping somebody else's hard work underneath his. A murky poetics. Maureen tells us all she attempted a transfusion, splays bloodied fingers robotically, watches the work soak in. She looks ill, an internal betrayal. Later, I catch Jane comparing mine to hers, cutting a fresh wound, the slow expansion of art into creases. But it's not age. I know why hers is darker, less vibrant. It's simple. It doesn't hurt her when it comes out. So that was Handprint, a poem I wrote in 2016. And I actually am a fan of it, but I don't know if it doesn't match my style at the moment, which is weird because it's like, I think it's objectively, it's okay. Like it's good. It's readable. People like it. Whoever I've read it to has enjoyed it. But at the same time, it's quite far from my style. And also, it makes me a bit uncomfortable because it's sort of, you know, it doesn't hurt when it comes out. That's a very normal poet kind of phrasing. That all poetry hurts me when it comes out. For me, that wasn't really the case. It was more the actual hurt that I was experiencing at the time was realizing that I wasn't everybody else. That everybody else, you know, they can go home after their creative writing meetups. And they'll still talk to each other on the internet, but I felt very isolated in that I was writing science fiction poetry, in that I have quite a dark sense of humour. And it's taken me until now, really. So like what? 6 years? 5, 6 years? To really find my crowd. So back then I was feeling very isolated. So reading that is actually quite an uncomfortable thing, which is interesting because there's not much that makes me feel uncomfortable. But yeah, that poem kind of, I feel like I didn't quite capture how I really felt at the time. But from a poetic point, from an artistic point of view, it's probably one of my more marketable poems. So I like it on that basis because it is a good poem. And it's based on a real thing that happened at a creative writing exercise. We had some people come in and they would just go on. And they would go on and on and on about their process and how the one about John layering somebody else's hard work underneath. That's my bitter way of saying that he's just taking the piss. And there was a few people like that. There was somebody that came into like, because I was part of this creative writing group years ago. And there was somebody that came in and they said, well, I've done a cut up technique of this other guy's poem. And the other guy was some famous poet. I think it might have been Keats. And so what he'd done is he'd got a Keats poem and took out adjectives. And he said, this is my poem. But no, it isn't, you fucking idiot. I hope that's an interesting postamble. I think I've just invented that term as opposed to a preamble. Because the idea is I'll read you the poem straight away. And then if you get bored of the rant, you can tune out. But you don't need to skip the rant to get to the poem, because the poem comes first, because the poem's more important. I did Comic-Con the other day, and I realized on the Sunday, if I just gave people the book and said, read it, if you're not fascinated in 30 seconds, give it back to me, you don't have to buy it. That worked quite well. I've done all right. So yeah, I'm gonna go now, because I've got a meeting in like 8 minutes with some comedians, which is really cool. Everything in my life is taking off all at once, so I'm sorry I've not been here. But I really appreciate you. I know there's like only three people that listen to this. But I should have come back and said hi. I'm sorry I was gone. Don't tell anybody that I said that, because I'm trying to build a persona as a total bastard, and it's really important to me that I come across that way. But yeah, I'm really pleased with how everything's going at the moment. I'm trying to merge this podcast with the Strange Stories of Philip Carter stuff, which is why I've renamed it. And I interview poets and scientists, comedians, writers, sci-fi people, that kind of thing. And it's all sort of merging to one. But yeah, it's in the process of being built up at the moment. But I'll let you all know how it's going in about a week or so. So yeah, thank you for being here. And I'll see you at the next one. And if you've not checked it out, check out realphilipcarter.substack.com. And that's Philip with two L's. realphilipcarter.substack.com. And that's where you can contact me. You can say whatever you like. And we'll chat about stuff. Eventually, I'm going to do the more spicy comedy over on a Patreon. And the paywall's really there. So, one, I can afford to eat. I need to prove to to this company I'm applying for a business loan that I actually have people behind me supporting me. Part of the reason I've launched that Kickstarter, which I'm not going to mention again during this particular podcast because it feels like a sales pitch. If you want to find it, you will do. If you don't, you're not going to appreciate me banging on about it, so I won't. But yeah, I'm trying to. I mean, I need a bit of a paywall for the comedy because it gets quite dark. And also, I don't like people seeing first drafts, like the very early drafts of stuff straight away, because I think like the average member of the public that comes past sometimes gets the wrong impression and thinks, oh, this guy only writes stuff that's unfinished. No, this guy only publishes stuff that's unfinished for free, because the finished stuff takes like loads and loads of editing and it's a lot of hard work, and I would quite like to get paid for it. I'd love to make a living as an author. I think it will happen eventually. I'm not going to say it's an unrealistic goal. I just watched a video of one of my favorite Minecraft YouTubers saying that getting on Hermitcraft, which is like a Minecraft YouTube channel, kind of community, that she said getting on that was an unrealistic goal. But 5 years later, she's on it and she's one of people's favorite creators. So even though she was putting herself down, she still made it. So I thought, how far could I go if I don't put myself down and I just go for the thing? Because I know a lot of cool people at the moment. And at the end of the day, I want to know more cool people and eventually be of use to them. So I could say, hey, I really like your script. I know a guy who could turn it into a movie. I want to be that kind of person. That'd be really cool. I'd also like more resources so I can do more evil. I think I've not done nearly enough evil. I'd like to just prank people. If I had loads of resources, I'd just like ring up. I'd go to supermarkets dressed as an alien. I'd have like proper movie special effects, and I would just go to supermarkets and just abduct all of the cow-based products in the supermarket with a little spaceship. I don't know what I'm talking about. So yeah, you've had 2 minutes of poems and then 8 minutes roundabouts of postamble, which is a lot of fun. I hope you've enjoyed being here. If you have, please do tell me, because I actually genuinely don't know how many people are listening to this. It says it's only free, but it's been like that for months. So I'm thinking, have I ever got three very dedicated listeners, or the thing's broken? To be honest, I quite like the three dedicated listeners because I've got a very small fan base at the moment, and I know most of you, and you're all really fucking cool. It's the weird thing about writing books. I never anticipated that, you meet some of your fans. I've met one or two because there've been people I've known in the real. Well, I say meet. Maybe I have. I don't know. I've spoken to people in depth online and become good friends with them, and they've said, oh, I initially started following you because of your book. And I thought, all right. So to them, it's like, oh, I've become a friend with one of my favorite sci-fi authors. But to me, it's I've got a new friend kind of thing. And it's nice to have a friend. And for them to go, oh, I actually liked your art so much, I thought I'd be friends with you. So clearly, my bastard persona that I was trying to develop with Who Built the Humans wasn't very effective. But I'm glad that it wasn't, because I've met a lot of nice people. In fact, before I leave, I'd like to give a shout out to one of my favourite people, Angie, who runs a David Bowie fan page on Instagram. She's known me for years, and she's like supporting everything I do, no matter how stupid it is. She'll support it anyway. It's great. But yeah, thank you for being here. Hopefully, I'll be able to do more podcasty stuff soon. I've got a few authors to interview. I've got a job in radio at the moment on Monday nights, so I've got a lot to tell you about in the next one. But I hope you enjoyed this postamble. I'm now going to go to work. Bye.